Let's get back to You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network.
Oh, bring it up, Jake. Let's go. You Better You Bet, otherwise known as the Power Hour. Femi Abebefe alongside PJ Glasser. PJ doing an awesome job filling in for Nick Kostos. Nick will be back with us tomorrow after some much needed time off. I will be gone tomorrow, but PJ holding things down here without Nick Kostos, as we've had a fun 3 hours so far on the program, and we have a great 60 minutes on deck for you guys, as well as 40 minutes from now will be all of our bets with our Power Hour plays. And it's a special edition of Power Hour plays because on a Tuesday, I'm giving out college football bets for Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. No college football for me this upcoming week because I'll be in Cabo. So we're giving out the bets. I'll be watching the games, but I'm not going to be here on the show starting tomorrow. So I will give out all of my college football bets. We'll give out some bets for Major League Baseball tonight, the WNBA tonight. Power Hour plays coming up in about 40 minutes. 20 minutes from now, though, have you taken a look at week one? Do you know what you're going to do in Survivor? Survivor strategies, Survivor plays for us. Now, they're not going to be final. We reserve the right to change our mind. But we're looking at Survivor. For those of you who don't know, Survivor, a very, very fun sweat throughout the NFL season. PJ and I will break that down coming up in about 20 minutes. But PJ, I saw this earlier this morning. This was courtesy of our friend John Ewing over at BetMGM. The most bet teams in terms of the ticket count and the money for week one of the NFL season. If you had to guess, I don't know. Have you seen this so far? I don't know if you've seen it yet or not. Okay,
not.
Great. Perfect. Perfect. If you had to guess, and the team is the same for the most bets in terms of the ticket count and the money, who do you think is the most bet side for week one in the NFL season?
That is a good question. Most bet side for week one. I'm going through the games. I'm gonna say it's the Eagles. -7.
Ding, 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 ding. It is the Philadelphia Eagles, the defending Super Bowl champion Eagles. Eagles laying the 7 is the most bet side in terms of ticket count and the money. That's the opening night game. But like, you have been Mr. America's team, even more so than me, a guy who roots for the Dallas Cowboys. You really like Dallas week one. So it sounds like, PJ, it's going to be you against a lot of folks next Thursday night to start the regular season.
Still music to my ears, Femi. Love it. We're on Dallas. I'm glad we got the 7 now. I don't think we're getting 7.5. I think this is the buy point here with Dallas certainly getting the key number.
Unless Mike Parsons doesn't play. Maybe it's 7.5.
That's a very good point. Well, we were talking with the Whale Capper yesterday, Drew Dinsick, and he said, you know, there was money coming in on Philly yesterday. It moved from 6.5 to 7 with, you know, McLaurin signing and Hendrickson signing and Parsons not signing. Do you think that had anything to do with it? I mean, you just said Eagles are the most bet team, so obviously the public is on them. You think any of the Parsons stuff had to do with that line change at all?
I mean, I think it's the chatter around Parsons. I don't think it's Parsons' information. Okay. Like, I don't think people are betting Philly because it's like, oh, I know Michael Parsons is not going to play because he's going to hold out all the way into the season and miss game checks. I think it's more so the amount of negativity around the Dallas Cowboys this offseason. And this dates all the way back to January when they hired Brian Schottenheimer. Like, they didn't really have like an official like head coaching search. McCarthy kind of just told them, kick rocks, I don't want to be here anymore. So I think it's more so The Shoddy hire was very uninspiring. They didn't do a whole lot once again in free agency. And then now we have just negative story after negative story with Jerry Jones saying that I don't want to deal with the agent, et cetera. It's all working together. And of course, the Eagles are awesome too, coming off a Super Bowl victory. I think that's why you have this now Eagles 7 as opposed to the 6.5 that it was earlier this past weekend.
Yeah, no, makes sense. And to your point, I mean, if Parsons, if he doesn't play, I mean, that'll go to 7.5 for sure. He's worth a half point. He might even be a full point to the line. You could see it going to 8 as well. But I do like Dallas. You know, rivalry game, we talked about it yesterday. I feel like in this series, especially recently, the road team has tended to play better. Dallas seems to always play Philly tough in Philly. And all the reasons that people are betting against Dallas and on the Eagles is all the reasons why I like Dallas. People are betting against Philly because of what they've seen in the preseason with Dallas, because they have a new head coach, because Dak is coming back from injury. Like, I want to bet into all that stuff. You know, early on in the season, if I have a big underdog that has the potential to be decent, like, I want to attack those games, right? Because if Dak turns out to come back from injury and looks really, really good, if Schottenheimer as a head coach and this offense looks like they're clicking, if the defense looks way different than they did in the preseason, I mean, you're not going to be getting these numbers with Dallas very often. So this is the challenge of week one, right? I mean, it's lines off of what these teams did last season, how we all project them to be, the offseason moves that they made. But nobody knows anything until we get to like week 9, 10, 11, and we've really seen these teams play. So you give me this many points, Femi, with a good quarterback, with an offense that's capable of putting up points, two teams that know each other really well, I'm going to take it just about every time. So I'll take Dallas plus 7.
And to go along with what you're saying, it feels like week 1, amongst all weeks of the NFL season, is the one that's most guided by just perception.
Of course.
It's guided by whether positive or negative. It's just perception, because we're all making educated guesses. And the betting market, which is incredibly sharp, especially for NFL sides, like, it ain't that sharp week one. like we all remember last year week one, where the Minnesota Vikings were damn near pick 'em on the road against the Giants. Like, you get laughed out of the room if you hang that number right now. But like, yep, that's just, we're all kind of like sort of making educated guesses as to what it's going to look like. Like, that's why you see, as we get through the first month of the season, first 6 weeks of the season, teams get upgraded, they get downgraded. It's all fluid. And then by the time, like PJ mentioned, we get to like week 10, week 11, or even later than that into the holidays, that's when we know exactly what the point spread should be. And it's a lot more sharp than it is early in the season. So like, that's where, if you have negative perception, like the Dallas Cowboys have this season, based on how they've talked about in all the daytime shows, Jerry this, Jerry that, Micah this, Micah that, Shoddy this, Shoddy that, it hasn't been good. Like, what's the last good Cowboy story that you've heard this offseason, PJ? Have you heard one? I don't know if I've heard one. I guess maybe the promotion of the Netflix documentary, which is great, by the
yeah,
way. But like, that's like the only positive thing I've heard about the Cowboys this offseason. I guess maybe when they traded for Pickens. Maybe the Pickens trade was positive. But that's about it. Outside of that, it's been very negative. Thus, the Cowboys are a big underdog opening night against the Philadelphia Eagles. Let's get to some of the other teams, though, that are pretty highly bet. The second most bet team. It's the same on the tickets and the money. I'll see if you can get this one. So we have the Eagles as the most bet team. Second most popular, though, tickets and the money. PJ, what do you think it is for week one in the NFL?
I'm going to say San Francisco minus 2.5 at Seattle would be my guess.
Ooh, that is not correct. Okay. Wrong.
Okay.
Guess again.
I'll go Kansas City minus 3 against the Chargers.
So the Chiefs are the third most popular with the tickets, fourth most popular with the money, but the second most popular team is a team that we actually talked about earlier in the show, and we talked about them before the show and during the breaks. It's the Denver Broncos laying the 7.5 against the Tennessee Titans, which, if you look at that now, PJ, a lot of sports books, and BetMGM, I still believe, has a 7.5. They do, as we have it right now on the right rail. A lot of other sportsbooks, though, have Denver laying 8. And I see a pretty sharp offshore sportsbook that has Denver as a 9-point favorite at home against Cam Ward and the Tennessee Titans. It makes a lot of sense. I'm not high on Denver, but in this particular spot, I would be much more willing to back them than I would Tennessee, given the fact that Denver's home field advantage early in the season is massive. team's still trying to get their legs underneath them. Now you got to go play at altitude with a really good home crowd that's incredibly fired up for this team this upcoming season. Makes a lot of sense. I could see Denver winning that like 24-3 or like 31-7, something in that range. So I understand why a lot of folks are back in the Denver Broncos. Do you feel that way about Denver in this particular matchup, or would you go the other way and maybe back the road dog with the rookie quarterback?
I mean, if we start seeing some nines, 9.5s pop up, I think I'd start to get pretty interested in Tennessee, because people are just going to tease the heck out of this game, Femi, right? I think that's why starting to see some 8.5, 9. Like, this is absolutely the teaser game. So, I mean, as we get closer and closer to Sunday, there's going to be more and more and more money pour in on the Broncos. I think you'll start to see some nines pop up around more sports books, so that those teasers go to 3, you know, 2.5, those kind of things. If we get to that number, I mean, I don't think we'll ever get a 10. Like, I don't think a line would jump that much in week one. But if we get up to 9 at more books, or even the 9.5, I could see myself betting on Tennessee, because again, of the unknown. Like, everything you said, right? Week one game, great defense. These are the kind of teams that Denver beat up on last year in the altitude. And the Titans have a rookie quarterback starting, but we don't know how good Cam Young. We don't know how good Cam Ward is going to be, right? I can tell you Cam Young's not going to be a good NFL quarterback, but we'll see. We'll see how Cam Ward is going to be. And some of these rookies, Femi, as of late, I mean, they have played pretty well in season openers. And 9.5 is just, it's a lot of points. So that game would be numbers for me. At 7.5, stay away. We start getting 9, 9.5. I maybe will be betting Tennessee.
I think I would need 10.5 to bet Tennessee.
Okay.
I hate the spot. I hate the spot for them. And like, here's where it stands for me. Like, rookie quarterback against a good defense, they just don't know what to expect in that first game. Mm-hmm. Like, we've seen a lot of good quarterbacks that have struggles in that week one. I think back to 2012 with Andrew Luck in that rookie year, where it's like, hey, he's the number one overall pick. Let's see what the Colts do against the Bears. He was horrendous against the Bears. Ended up being really good that season, but was horrendous week one. Russell Wilson against the Cardinals that week one, he was pretty damn bad. Now, I guess you can throw in my face RG3 against the Saints, because he was awesome in the opener against New Orleans. But like, more often than not, you see these rookies, even when they're good for their rookie year, they struggle week one. I mean, look at last year, Jaden Daniels. He wasn't that great against Tampa. But then, like, come full circle playoffs, he's beating the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and eliminating them in the playoffs. But that week one game, there's just certain things they have to get used to, the cadence of an NFL game day, et cetera, et cetera. And now you're doing it at altitude. And, like, let's be honest, like, Tennessee, even though I'm high on the team, their expectations that they're going to be bad. So I think I'd need, like, 10.5 to bet the Tennessee Titans. If anything, like, I think the Broncos teasers are not great for early in the season, especially week one, but I do think it's a really good teaser leg with a total that low and a team at home that performs really, really well early in the season. So I get it. I understand why people like Denver in that game. I like Denver a little bit. Not really looking to lay it. I'll probably just bet the under, but if I had to bet the side, it would be on the Broncos as opposed to the Tennessee Titans. I'll give you the other most bet teams with the ticket count and the money. So third most with the tickets, Chiefs laying the 3 Friday night against the Chargers in Brazil. Jets taking 3 at home against Pittsburgh. And then the Giants plus 6 on the road against the Commanders. That's the ticket count. As for the money, Pittsburgh laying the 3 is the third most popular. So a little bit of back and forth there, a little push-pull between that Jets-Steelers game. The tickets are on the Jets, the money's on the Steelers. Fourth most with the money is Kansas City laying the 3. Fifth most is Arizona laying the 6, which is now out to 6.5. Any of that stand out to you, PJ? Any disagreements? Any agreements? What do you think of the rest of the most bet sides for week one in the NFL?
Yeah, it sounds like Jets-Steelers might be a little Joes versus Pros type game, right? Public kind of liking the Jets a little bit. Yeah, Pros liking the Steelers, which is interesting. I'm staying away from that one. I do think it's interesting that a lot of money's coming in on both the New York teams. The Giants, I think, are going to be a trendy underdog upset pick. But the more and more we get to that game, I don't know if I'm going to have a ticket on Washington. The Giants always play the Commanders tough, especially in D.C. They always do. I mean, that year where they were awful and getting smashed by everybody, they were like 10-point dogs. Sam Howell has like 6 turnovers, and they lose that game outright. Last year, Washington kicks a billion field goals. Malik Nabers drops a pass, or they would have won that game. So even these years where the Giants have been awful, they've still managed to play Washington really tough and beat them. They've played Jaden Daniels pretty tough in the 2 matchups against them. So I can see why a lot of people like the Giants in that game. I don't know. Both those games I'm staying away from. I think the lines are about right, but I'd be careful of both the New York teams as dogs in those games.
Yeah, I think the Giants one at 7 made sense. Plus 6, I can't get there. I cannot get there. Like, the Commanders are still a much better football team, even though I do love the Giants' defensive line with what they have in Abdul Carter now in the mix up front. On the other side, we'll tell you how to win your Survivor League, or at least how to try to make it past week 1. It's coming up next year on You Better You Bet.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM, the sportsbook born in Vegas.
Welcome back. The Power Hour is rolling along here on You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe, PJ Glasser. 20 minutes from now, our Power Hour plays. Bets in Major League Baseball, the WNBA, and for me, college football, because I'm not going to be here the rest of the week. So I'll give out my college football bets for Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Dude, we have college football for 5 straight days. Thursday, Friday,
you don't have to
Saturday.
Tell me.
It's like, this is, it's insane. Will you leave the couch starting Thursday, PJ?
No.
Yes or no?
No.
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 Will the glass man get sunlight starting on Thursday?
No.
It's a no.
No. It's all. Will he gain a few pounds? Yes. Just take all the
Yes.
The overs. The dent that will be imprinted on my couch, Femi. It'll take days to recover from. There. I mean, I'm gonna be firmly acquainted with the. Lots of TV watching over the next 5 days. Can't wait, man. It's awesome. I mean, this is the last. Yesterday was like the last Monday without football until 2026. We're gonna get Thursdays without football all year now. It's gonna be awesome. So. We made it. We're finally here. Can't wait for all the games.
You know, that's like always the crazy part about the NFL season, because we spend months talking about these week one games. And it always hits me. I think, like, because we get the week one games and we get Monday Night Football after the Sunday slate. And you're like, oh, man, okay, we get the react. And all of a sudden on Wednesday, it's like, hey, guys, there's a game tomorrow, week 2. We're here. And, like, you're just in it. Like, you're not used to being in it. You're not used to being in the cadence of it all. But then week one comes, and it comes and goes. And then all of a sudden, here's week 2. Bang. Commanders at the Packers. What do you think? It's like, whoa, can I catch my breath? No, you cannot, is the answer to that question. But it's a fun, fun time of year. We absolutely love the NFL. Also, this, I'll ask you this, because I was thinking about this the other day. With, like, the YouTube Sunday Ticket multi-view, I love it. I'm a big fan. Every year, without fail, the first about 10 to 15 minutes, 1 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock Pacific, first 10 to 15 minutes, my head is spinning. Like, you're just not in, like, game-watching shape. And I say that as an absolute degenerate sicko. Like, you're not in game-watching shape for the first, like, 10 to 15. I'm like, okay, I got the game here. I'm like, what the hell's going on? I'm trying to get, like, my bearings almost. I'm just, it's overload. But it's a great overload. And then, like, you kind of ease in once you get to halftime. But, like, that first jolt, like, you're excited. And then all of a sudden, you're just like, oh, what do I keep tabs of? This is happening. Oh, this is happening. You're not there. You know, like that's why I watch the preseason. I need a training camp just to watch games. Like, that's what I need, man. I mean, maybe college football this weekend will help us kind of, like, have a training camp of getting used to kind of keeping tabs of, like, 6, 7, 8 games going on all at one window.
See, it's funny that you get caught off guard at the start of the game, because I get caught off guard at that first witching hour of week one, when you're just back in it and all these games are coming down to the wire. You know, like, it's one thing when they're all starting and you get all these kickoffs going off and you're like, man, like, we got 8 games, 8 NFL games. But the witching hour, when you get sweating out all these bets and all these games hit the fourth quarter, and you're reminded of just how good the NFL is, because all these games like come down to the wire. There's a reason the spreads are what they are. I mean, they're so sharp. So for me, it's actually like the end of those 1 o'clock Eastern time games when I'm watching them all come down to the wire. Every year, I always get reminded, I'm like, NFL, it's ridiculous how close. Because with college, you get all these games, right? But, I mean, there are so many. Some of them are like ESPN Plus. They're buried away. A lot of these games are blowouts. I mean, we got teams favored by like 40 points in week one. But those NFL games, when they're just coming down, Femi, they're just, when it's like, bang, game-winning field goal in Atlanta, fourth and 12 in Dallas. You know, like, we're going all over the board. I'm like, oh, yeah, man, this is the best.
Gets you fired up, doesn't it?
It gets you fired up, man. It does.
It's a really great time. And to add it on top of all the sweats, your survivor pool, early and often, the sweat is real from minute one. And for those who might not know, like the uninitiated, like NFL survivor pools, they're really, really fun. And they seem a lot easier than they actually are. But if you don't know, it's a really simple concept. Weeks one through eight, your goal for every single week is to pick one team to win the game outright. Not against the spread, just to win the game outright. The caveat is, though, you cannot use that team later on in the season. So it's like kind of like a choose wisely kind of adventure. Like once you pick that team, if they win and you advance, then you can't go back to the well. So you can't just say, I'm going to pick the Eagles every week, or I'm going to pick Kansas City every week. No, you got to kind of have some sort of a plan. And then you factor in a little bit of game theory as well, which is probably what gets me into a little bit of trouble, because I like to play like a certified madman. That's my survivor strategy. It's not for the faint of heart. Like, it is just like, if you're timid, you're scared money, it ain't for you. Because like, my strategy is to roll the dice. I do believe that's the optimal way to try to win survivor. Some people, they play a little bit closer to the vest. You know, who's the biggest favorite that week? I'll go with that team. And more often than not, those teams win. But early in the season, we just got done saying it in the last segment, these point spreads, they're not as accurate as they are in November and December. You might think you have a big favorite and a safe choice, but that team might stink out loud, as we saw last year with the Cincinnati Bengals removing people from the paint almost on a weekly basis at the beginning of the season. So, PJ, how do you play survivor? What's your tips? What are your strategies for week one coming up next week?
I'm the opposite way of you, Femi. So you like to roll the dice early on in the season. I try and play it as safe as I possibly can for as long as I can.
He's punting on fourth and one. PJ.
Because, Femi, here's the thing, right? These teams that everybody wants to save, the Bills, the Ravens, the Chiefs, right? All the top teams. Well, what happens if Mahomes gets hurt? What happened if Josh Allen, right? Like, what injuries happen? So I don't want to play that game where, like, oh, week 13 when the Bills are home against the Saints, that's when I'm saving. But what if Allen's hurt? Then you're screwed, right? So I let in survivor pools, I hope there are people like you out there, Femi, that are thinking, you know, man, let's roll the dice. Let's take a nice pick 'em in week one. Let's get crazy. you go right ahead, Femi. You play that game. I try and play it as safe as I possibly can. I let people take chances. I try and last for as long as I can in Survivor, because that's the way I approach it. Is, man, injuries can they shake up everything, and you never know who's going to turn out to be good and who's going to turn out to be bad. So yeah, man. Now I will say there is a pick 'em type game that I am mulling over in week one.
Ooh,
that
I feel okay, Glassman.
Pretty okay. Good about. I feel pretty good about. I think we might be on the same side, Femi, because I just saw you text something in the are we going to war with Danny Dimes and the Colts in week one? Is that the survivor play?
I cannot do it. I'm a crazy person with Survivor. I'm not going down with Daniel Jones. I'm not doing that. But like, in terms of being like an optimal strategy, picking a team that's not going to be popular amongst your pool, it's probably a really good play. Like, it probably is, but I'm not going to live that life. I think there's some other teams that we could go down swinging on, some contrarian favorites, if you will. So I have a list of teams. I have three teams that I'm considering right now for Survivor. I'm curious to see how many teams you have. But the three teams that I have right now, the first one, the Jacksonville Jaguars at home against the Carolina Panthers, they're a 3-point favorite. The second one, and this goes against everything that I believe in, but I actually am starting to come around to maybe this team might be a little bit more contrarian after what happened last year and what's happened over the last like 3 years, essentially. The Cincinnati Bengals are on my short list for Survivor in week one. They're a 6-point favorite right now on the road against the rival Cleveland Browns. And then finally, I mean, you have to probably consider Denver. I'm not going to pick Denver. I don't think I will, but they're on the short list because they are a pretty big favorite at home against a non-division opponent. It just makes a lot of sense. I'll say this right now. Denver's going to be the most popular play. So like, if you're looking to avoid the masses, don't pick Denver. But if you just want to like feel good about your selection, because hey, like there's no guarantee that they win the game. Now they're a pretty good favorite to win it, but it's not guaranteed. If you want to feel good going in, Denver is probably your option right now as an 8-point favorite, and that's probably going to go even higher by the time we get to kickoff. So those are the three teams I'm considering, PJ. Who are you considering for week one?
So same teams, two of the same teams as you. Broncos, definitely. Bengals, for sure. And then the Colts, as I was talking about. I don't think I'll get there with the Colts. The Broncos will end up being my pick. Everybody's going to be on Denver, like you said, but that's the team I'm going to go with. If Cam Ward goes into Denver in the altitude against that defense and he beats them, I'll tip my cap and I'll go out a loser in week one for the second straight year, man. But that's the way that's the way we're going to roll. I think that's why the Bengals, though, are also a good option, because how many people got screwed by Cincinnati last year and won't go back to the well, right? And they know the history of Joe Burrow and how he plays against the Browns, especially in Cleveland. And there will be fewer people that take Cincinnati in survivor pools than I think maybe you would expect, because they're nervous with the Bengals. But Femi, as bad as that defense was and as bad as they were last year, again, if you go back and look at the Bengals' schedule, like, these are the type of games that they won. Outside of New England in week one, if you take away that game, all those other games when they were big favorites, they won those games and they normally covered those games. It was when they went up against the top teams in the NFL with top quarterbacks, those are the games that they won. So Zach Taylor, the Bengals, they've been making an emphasis, right? Playing the starters, getting off to a good start. They know that is what's been hurting them. So that extra focus, divisional rival, knowing it's a team that you've been struggling against, like, I don't think it's going to be the same Bengals team that we have seen the last few years start seasons. I think it's going to be a different kind of team. I know the defense is really, really bad. I get it. But, like, if you're going to want that defense, wouldn't it be against the Browns offense? Like, isn't that one of the offenses that you would want it against? So I'll probably end up going Denver, but I like the Cincinnati look too, man. I like the look because I don't think many people are going to be on it as much as you would think they would be.
Yeah, I think they're going to be the contrarian, like, bigger favorite, if you will, because Denver's going to be popular. Arizona, who we've not talked about yet, like, the Cardinals are going to be very popular because everyone has heard all season or all offseason long how New Orleans sucks and it's going to be Rattler and the team stinks. And I think people are kind of bullish on Arizona being like a sneaky dark horse team. So I think Arizona is going to be your second most popular. Washington, probably your third most popular. I feel like people are going to try to save Philadelphia just because of the Super Bowl champions and say, hey, I could use Philly somewhere else. But you'll get some people that take the Philadelphia Eagles. But, like, amongst those teams that are playing on Sunday, like, of the big favorites, I think Cincinnati is going to be pretty clearly the fourth option, which, like, that's not going to give you the maximum, like, value, like, taking, like, an Indianapolis would and the Colts end up winning to where it's like, okay, cool, I got by with the Colts and I still have all these other good teams to my disposal. But I do think you do gain an edge by taking the Cincinnati Bengals. So, like, I'm seriously considering Cincinnati for my week one survivor pool pick, because also too, based on where I'm coming from, I don't like the team. So I don't really want to save the Bengals. Like, I'm not like, hey, look, oh, I can get Cincinnati against this other team. Nah, I'm good. like, I don't need that. So I think the Bengals might end up being my option. Jacksonville, you don't have them on your list. It's going to be a scary game because I think it's going to be a shootout. But, like, that's another team where I want no parts of saving them, but I do think they're better than Carolina. The thing that concerns me, though, is that defense, I think, stinks. And there's a chance that this is last team with the ball wins. And with your survivor ticket, it's hold on to your butt if that's the case. I've lived through that in years past. It's not a fun experience whatsoever. You didn't give any consideration to the Jaguars at home as a field goal favorite?
Want no part of that. at all. None. Zero. Zero part of Jags Panthers. Liam Cohen making his first start, right, as the or his first game coaching for the Jags. Lawrence is coming back from injury. What makes that game so interesting, Femi, is I think Bryce Young and the Panthers remind me of a lot of what the Jags were a couple of years ago, where Trevor was the number one pick in the league, all these expectations coming into the NFL. Year one as a rookie, disaster with Urban Meyer. Year two, second half of the season, looks awesome. They get their way into the playoffs, go on that big win streak. Everybody's expecting big things in year three, and it just didn't happen. Look at Bryce Young and the Panthers. Year one, Frank Reich, disaster. Year two, gets off to a bad start, but then we start to see some really good things last six, seven games. So they're kind of headed on like the same plane. Like, I see a lot of Bryce and the Panthers of what I saw with Jacksonville, and I just want to kind of watch them play the first couple games. Like, I don't think I'll bet Carolina the first couple weeks of the season. So because of that, I just can't get involved with them in Survivor, and I just don't want to bet Jacksonville either.
Yeah.
Would you ever take an underdog? Because like that's like, they say that you should never take an underdog in Survivor. I mean, there's some point spreads where it's like, all right, it's a 1-point dog. It's pretty much a coin flip. I wouldn't mind it, but like, I feel like amongst the underdogs, I actually would probably end up taking Miami. I know you said that you're on Indianapolis. I think I'd actually take the Dolphins as the team, just because I think that, like, hey, maybe it's just Tua's healthy. Tyreek is feeling good early season. Their pass rush should be really good. The secondary is weak as hell, but, like, it's also Daniel Jones at quarterback. Can he exploit it? I don't know. I could see Miami, though, having a performance where they kind of try to shut up the haters after getting all that slander throughout the offseason. And some of it coming from this very show here on You Better You Bet, as we're not too big on the Miami Dolphins and dead coach walking, a.k.a. Mike McDaniel. All right, on the other side, all of our bets for tonight and this weekend with college football coming up to wrap up the show here during the during the Power Hour here on You Better You Bet.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM, the sportsbook born in Vegas. Let's get back to You Better You Bet on the BetMGM network.
Let's get back to it here. Final segment of You Better You Bet on the BetMGM network here, the Power Hour rolling along here on this Tuesday. I'm like 12 minutes from vacation, man, and it's needed. It is very much needed. Femi Bebfe, PJ Glasser, hanging out with you guys over these next 4 hours. It has been fun on the show today, as if you missed any part of it, where we broke down National Football League cutdown day, Travis Kelce, the big news today, getting engaged to Taylor Swift. We talked about that a little bit. Major League Baseball awards. If you missed any part, make sure you check it out in podcast form. Just search You Better You Bet wherever you get your podcasts. Odyssey, Spotify, Apple, iHeartRadio. Make sure you go ahead and check it out. Once again, You Better You Bet wherever you get your podcasts. And shout out to our crew today on the show, holding things down. Tyler Morales, Jay Kassan, Bill Zimmerman, Mike Brown. It was a doozy over these 4 hours, and we did it with no guests. That's how much PJ and I were out here putting in work on a Tuesday, just absolutely grinding here on the show. But it was a great show nonetheless, and the vibes were high here on the BetMGM network, and they will remain high after us here on You Better You Bet, because from 7 to 11 Eastern, make sure you are locked in, dialed in to BetMGM tonight with Ryan Horvat and our next guest who's joining us right now, the bald freak Brad Evans. Brad, how we doing? Happy Tuesday to you and yours, buddy.
Hola, amigos! The bald freak sporting a brand spanking new bone polish.
Ooh. So how often do you get that done? Like, is that like a once a week deal, or is it a couple times a week? Because I'm about to be there a year, so I need all the tips that I need.
Look, I got a skull shaver, so I see my barber every couple of days, and I just go in and, you know, in the shower and kill multiple birds with one stone. It's absolutely outstanding. Yep. So I get the cut done in like 5 minutes, and we're off. That is the beauty of having nowhere. I am actually 99 years old, but you look at me and you're like, oh, man, he looks like he's 40.
That is the sneaky good part about being bald. Like, you cannot tell someone how old they are. It's just like, hey, know, if you got great skin, it's you can pass off as 30 years old or 80 years old. We don't know how old Brad Evans is. But Brad, what are you doing tonight in the world of sports and why?
Yeah, amigos, I'm going to go with my guy, the Northsider from Chicago, and Matthew Boyd. I think he's going to record the dub tonight on the road by the Bay against the San Francisco Giants. It is at plus 145 for him to secure the victory, going against one Justin Verlander, who has looked like he's ancient. He looks like he's about 99 out there on the mound. Largely been down for him. A lot of inconsistency, a lot of incongruence in terms of the quality starts, few and far between. Boy, meanwhile, respectable 3.09 road ERA this season. Yeah, he's only won two games and 13 starts away from Wrigley Field, but I think he's going to get off the schneid. He's already beaten San Francisco in a start at Wrigley back on Cinco de Mayo, Mas Tequila. Went six innings in that one. Two earned runs, seven strikeouts. The Cubs, 21 games above 500 right now, and you add in two, the Giants, number 22 in WRC plus over the last couple of weeks. I think Boyd will get the run support, go at least six strong, and score the victory. Love that one at plus 145.
Wow. So the streets have been saying that Matthew Boyd's a little bit of a fraud, but you're going with Matthew Boyd tonight. We wish you all the best of luck in doing that. He's scoffing at the streets. I see you. Put your chest in the bad. I absolutely love it. I absolutely love it. Travis Kelce got engaged earlier today to Taylor Swift. Congratulations to the both of them. You are a very big fantasy guy, a very big prop guy. Does this make you want to bet Kelce with anything? Does he get a nice engagement boost for the upcoming 2025 NFL season? Because he's saying that, hey, man, like last year, we're not going out like that. Like, do you elevate Travis Kelce from a prop standpoint and from a fantasy standpoint now that he will soon be a married man to the biggest celebrity in the world?
Negativo, congratulations on the fat and bank account in short order here for you, Travis Kelce, but I'm not moving single inch on my tight end cheat sheet. I still got him at tight end 9 this year, a guy that's seen a precipitous drop off in touchdown scored over the last three straight seasons. Now, you might see a slight boost, a slight surge there, you know, 6-7 touchdowns very much there on the table, but I think he's going to be below 650 receiving yards this year. I think he's a middling TE1 and 12-team fantasy league drafts, and I would firmly bet the under on receiving yards. Alas, I saw a BetMGM that was sent at 700.5. I think he's going to be, again, in the 600 to 650 range. So the only thing I demand from those cool kids who struck the engagement, whenever the wedding reception commences, wherever it is, I must see Andy Reid breaking out the running man.
I'm more of like a worm guy. Can you get Andy Reid for doing the worm? Like that would be much better.
I know about that.
Maybe. You never know. Let's. I'm not doubting Andy Reid, all right? I'm not doubting all right. him. Brad, have a great show. Once again, we encourage everybody, 7 to 11, BetMGM tonight. Brad with Ryan Horvat breaking down all sorts of things, live sweating all the games tonight in the world of sports. We'll talk to you later, buddy. Be well.
Derek Hamby over 7.5 rebounds against the Mercury at plus 110. I'm out.
He's dabbling in the W. That is the great Brad Evans. Once again, 7 to 11 Eastern. BetMGM tonight following us here on the BetMGM Network. But it is that time to go ahead and let you know some cool promotions that our friends at BetMGM have to offer. So, Jake, go ahead and drop the dope-ass beat, and let's get the folks ready to roll for tonight in the world of betting. How about this one? BetMGM account holders will receive an Any Sport Parlay Boost token. Score a bigger payout if your wager with the Parlay Boost token hits. Tokens can be used on parlays and SGPs. Make it legendary with BetMGM. Download the BetMGM app and please gamble responsibly. All right, it's that time of the night. We'll get to Power Hour plays. And we're going to begin, PJ, in Major League Baseball. Let's get to the Major League Baseball slate here on tonight's card. And look at the slate that we have. We have the Nationals and the Yankees. How about the Phillies and the Mets and the NL East? Could the Mets track them down? Probably not. They're six games back. But the Mets won last night. Let's see if we can get it done once again tonight here as well. Diamondbacks at the Brewers, Padres, Mariners, Reds, Dodgers. What do you like in Major League Baseball and why, PJ?
I'm fading the Miz tonight and the Brewers. Give me the D-backs plus 150 on the money line. Look, after the Brewers went on that 14-game win streak, Femi, they've just been kind of okay. 4-6 in their last 10. They've lost their last two series. Mizorowski's not been all that great, so I think that's a nice money line price tonight with Arizona at plus 150. And then I also like the over in Tigers and Athletics. For me, this is a numbers play at 11. Obviously, Sacramento overs have been a thing this season. But Femi, I've seen a lot of 10s. I've seen a lot of 10.5s. I've not seen a lot of 11s. So I think the fact that it's that high, Morton against Beto tonight, tells me that there are going to be quite a lot of runs scored in that Tigers-A's game. So I'll go over 11 in Detroit and the Athletics.
Awesome. Absolutely love it. No bets for me in Major League Baseball. I put all my focus in college football, which we'll get to here shortly. But we do have some action in the WNBA. Seattle Storm at the Indiana Fever. Got the Mercury against the Sparks. That's what Brad likes at Derek Hamby over on the rebounds. Anything for you in the W, PJ?
Staying away. I feel like every time I do this show, though, Femi, there's only two games, and the Fever are always one of the teams playing. Every time I do this show. But I'm staying away. Nothing for me in the W.
Well, wait until tomorrow when once again we'll have two games. No, well, the Fever are not playing tomorrow, but it will be two games with Las Vegas and Atlanta and then Connecticut and Dallas. The WNBA MVP market, though, as we continue to kind of track that, Nafisa Collier today has been getting bet like all day long. She's now out to like a minus 700 favorite. I don't know if I'd go that far, but she should definitely be the favorite. If she continues to play well, I think she'll win the award at the end of the season. Season ends, by the way, on September 11th, so only a few weeks away. And finally, because I'm going to be off until next Wednesday, college football week one. Now, PJ's going to give his bets on Send It In and later on this week on You Better You Bet, but now is my time to shine and give you what I like for this weekend in college football. And what a slate we have. Top five showdown in Columbus, Texas at Ohio State. We got Bama at Florida State out there in Tallahassee. I love that damn near all these games are on campus. Now, we have a couple of games in Atlanta, Syracuse, Tennessee, Virginia Tech, South Carolina on Sunday. That's also in Atlanta. But you're going to give me LSU at Clemson and Death Valley. You're going to give me Notre Dame at Miami and South Beach. It's a great, great weekend for college football. And here's what I like, starting with Saturday's action. I'm rolling with the Longhorns. Hook 'em horns, baby. Texas on the money line, plus 110. Now, I'm going to wait to see if I can make this bet a little bit later on, see if I can get some plus 115. But I will have Texas money line in my pending wagers. I think their trenches just overwhelmed Julian Sain in his first career start. Ohio State with the coordinator changes, I'm not a fan of them. I think Texas.
Lost Femi there as he's giving out his college football plays. Oh, there you go, Femi. I think we got it.
Okay, I was going to say, I was like, I don't think I froze or anything like that. I guess, hey, my internet was still connected. I guess I just froze naturally. But Texas on the money line against Ohio State. I like Texas. I also like Clemson on the money line against LSU. Clemson minus 165. Again, the trenches at home in Death Valley. I think Dabo's guys get it done. Cade Klubnik. I don't really like him, like a big fan of him, but I do think he's set up really, really well this year for Clemson. So give me Texas money line, Clemson money line. On Sunday, I'm going to fade a lot of the excitement about South Carolina. Let's go with Vatek plus the 8 on a neutral in Atlanta. This is like not even like a big Vatek thing. This is just more like there's so much excitement for South Carolina and Florida. This week, I'm fading the Gamecocks. So give me the Hokies plus 8. I will take Notre Dame on the money line, minus 130 in Miami. Coin flip game, I'm not doing it, Mario Cristobal. And Marcus Freeman showed us last year he does have coaching chops in these kinds of games as Notre Dame was able to navigate the CFP before falling to Ohio State in the title game. So give me Notre Dame on the money line. And then finally, Monday night, let's play into it, baby. Let's put on our Carolina blue hoodies. North Carolina, come on and raise up. Plus 3.5, Carolina money line plus 140. I will be betting both of those. It's extreme. We don't know what it's going to look like, but I think it looks good against those fraudulent TCU Horned Frogs. That is my college football card for week one. Glassman, good luck with all the bets. Fun working with you this week, buddy. I'm sure we'll talk soon next week.
Femi, have a good vacation, my friend. Next time I talk to you, NFL week one. Can't wait.
absolutely fired up for it. So that does it for us here on You Better You Bet. For PJ Glasser, for our entire crew, I'm Femi Abebefe saying good luck with all the bets. BetMGM tonight. Brad Evans, Ryan Horvath coming at you next here on the BetMGM Network.
Thanks for listening to You Better You Bet. Up next, it's BetMGM Tonight on the BetMGM Network.